tonight to the figure who it's rumored harbors a secret desire to lead the Tory party in the future. Thanks for joining us. However, you now say you definitely have no plans to lead the Tory party. Is that true?
Absolutely, Trevor. I'm just going to continue as I am now, wearing silly hats and making people laugh.
And very good you are at it too, Mr. Haig.
Aye, turned out nice again. Take my wife. No, please take her. Hey, can you hear me, mother?
Ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sue McGregor.
And me, Lord Voldemort!
And as you can hear, we've all gone Harry Potter crazy here at Radio 4. Not content with just having all Boxing Day devoted to the teen wizard, we've also allowed Lord Voldemort to join the Today team. After he turned James Naughty into a repulsive slug-like creature. Which didn't take a lot of doing, apparently.
Coming up in the first hour, we'll be speaking to Michael Portillo in the radio car.
Yes, and I'll be asking him about his leadership ambitions and why he refuses to enter the Chamber of Secrets to defeat the monster created by the evil wizard Slytherin.
And I, the evil wizard Voldemort, will be casting a spell of silence over the Thought for the Day presenter. And then I, Lord Voldemort, will attempt to rule the world.
Rule the world, Voldemort, but you're a Today presenter, man. For goodness sake, you already rule the world.
Hello, I'm Carol Smiley, and these are my teeth. And these are my 48 children. I'm always pregnant. Oh, there's another three. Now, it's all getting a wee bit hectic here, so I've asked Lawrence and Linda Barker to come round to my house and help me with changing babies. So, Lawrence, what are we going to do here?
Well, this nappy has to go for a start. It's just brown, brown, brown. I say we throw it right out.
Linda, what about you? Well, Carol, I think we really, really have to lose the safety pin motif. Now, I've picked up something on holiday in Africa. This lovely giant elephant tusk engraved with Zulu carvings of Paul Simon and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Well, that's all from Changing Babies. Why not join us next week when I'll be moving into a shoe?
BBC Radio 4. I'm Charlotte Green. Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just pleased to hear me? After ITV celebrate 40 years of Coronation Street, we celebrate 1,000 years of You and Yours. And here are a few highlights from the first ever show.
Hello, welcome to You and Yours. I'm John Waite.
And I'm Liz Barclay, and ahead of you lies 1,000 years of consumer-based banality for your listening agony.
Coming up this week, one of our regular listeners in East Yorkshire has had his head sliced off with a maypole by Viking invaders. We ask, should there be stricter regulations on the sharpness of maypoles?
The Black Death, we investigate the best creams to hide those telltale blemishes.
That's You and Yours. It's been going for 1,000 years, but it feels much, much longer.
Hello. My name is Greg Dyke. You and Yours? What sort of a stupid name for a radio show is that? Now, my new BBC is all about honesty. So, it's not going to be called You and Yours anymore. It's going to be called That Show That Comes On After the News and Goes On a Bit.
Hello, I'm Johnny Vaughan. Now available in three new flavours.
In the light of the blatant product placement in the phenomenally successful Charlie's Angels movie, there are concerns that this trend could spread to other blockbuster films.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. But first, I will have chicken tonight. Like chicken tonight.
Hello, Tim Butcher speaking.
Hello there. I was just calling about the Turner Ad Prize.
Oh, yeah?
I'm an artist myself. You might have heard me. The name's Rolf Harris. I've painted a lot of natural scenes, a lot of very Australian scenes, that kind of thing. I had a little work of art of, that I wanted to enter for the Turner Art Prize, if that'd be okay.
Right. Unfortunately, the selection has been made and the winner has been announced.
Really?
You would always be considered for next year, though. The selection will be made for the shortlist for the 2001 Turner Prize.
Oh, so, right. What does, the winner actually get? Do you win money or do you get a holiday in Tenerife? What does the artist get?
The artist gets £20,000 as a prize, and,
Would, would £30,000 be, possible?
The prize has been set, so...
All right. For next year, how can I be absolutely sure that I'm submitting a work of art that is really going to impress Anthea?
Anthea? I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Anthea Turner.
Anthea Turner. All right.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, it isn't really anything to do with Anthea Turner. It's a completely separate prize. So,
Is it something that Sister Wendy's doing then?
No, it's not. No, it's got nothing to do with Sister Wendy either.
Oh, great. No. Great.
Okay,
well, I'll tell you what, I'll just do myself. I'll do my entry now. There's the little flat out lizard down there like that with all the flaming galahs looking on and just loading up all the stuff into the back of the ute there. Pum, 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 pum. And there's a little dibbly blum pom pom just on the bottom there. You might as well announce me as the winner right now.
One day, in a week, a month, a year, on that day when, God willing, we all return to our homes again, you're going to feel very proud of what you've achieved here, building the bridge on the River Kwai in the face of great adversity. It will stand for years as an example to all our countrymen, soldier and civilian alike. Do you know why? Because we used Ronseal wood varnish. Does exactly what it says on the tin. Don't say I didn't warn you.
As Anne, the gorgeous pouting virgin, entered the room, she could feel his eyes burning into her, his lustful gaze mentally undressing her.
And the Shadow Cabinet and I are very angry about this drug business.
As his proud, majestic nostrils flared, she knew at once that, like all the others, he too harboured lustful desires towards her.
We feel your conference speech turned us into a laughing stock.
With every sentence, he conveyed his wanton desire to explore her body, inhale her sensuous fragrance, and run his rough, manly hands across Anne's delicate, milky white skin.
So we want you to drop it, if you don't mind.
Anne knew their forbidden love could never be, but still he persisted. Still he probed her delicate defences and demanded their two bodies gloriously become one.
So, Anne, is it yes or no?
Yes, William, of course it's yes, 1,000 times yes. Mount my battlements and lower my drawbridge. Take me in your powerful arms and defrock this delicate pouting flower with your engorged passion.
Right, I'll take that as a yes, then.
So, welcome to The Choice with me, Michael Burke. The choice we'll be looking at this morning was one made by a certain Michael Burke, who at a very young age couldn't decide whether to talk very loud like this or very quiet and tender like this. Ultimately, it was a choice he was never able to make, so he settled on the unhappy compromise of alternating his voice. Very loud and then suddenly very quiet. Sometimes in the same sentence. A decision that made him sound very strange indeed. Next week on The Choice, my guest will be Professor Anthony Clare, who couldn't decide whether to be patronising Smug or both.
Hello and welcome to From Our Own Correspondent, with me, Kate Adie, reporting to you this week from a region blighted by tragedy. All around me are the weary, tortured faces begging for mercy in the face of unprecedented cruelty.
You think you're very clever, Mr. Jenkins. You don't know who plays Pat Butcher in EastEnders, do you? Not very bright at all, are you?
Horrific interrogations such as these are directly in contravention of Statute 23 of the Human Rights Charter, ratified by the UN in 1993, subclause game shows put in to bring to an end the Saturday night telly atrocities committed by Noel Edmonds and Mr. Blobby.
But it's votes that count, so despite the fact she answered all the questions correctly, the nervous, fat, sweaty woman standing beside you has been voted off because no one likes nervous, fat, sweaty women. Nervous, fat, sweaty woman, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
And now, episode 6 of A History of Britain with Simon Bates.
All right, this is the story of a king. Let's call him George the Third. Now, George seemed to have everything going for him. He had a good job. He was king. Steady income, tax from all his subjects, and a wife who was a queen. But something was wrong. George was basically mad. He loved to run round in his pajamas shouting at people. We've all done it, but when you're king, people start to notice. And of course, the inevitable happened. One night when he was out being mad, George met a guy. He was also called George. George Washington. He was an American, a real charmer. One thing led to another, and well, next day when George came to, he realized he'd lost his American colonies. He felt cheapened, used. And I guess you could say that he kind of felt quite mad, both, I guess, with rage and with porphyria, a disease of the urinary tract. George had never felt so low as he did that night, and he actually considered giving it all up and letting his son, George IV, become regent. But then he played The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics, and suddenly everything was just fine except for his madness.
Ah, Coates, what are you doing? I'm cleaning up. You cleaning up? The last time you saw a bath was when the vicar chucked you in the font. I still got a quite brown ring around the edge. Anyway, you can't clean up. Everything must remain exactly as it is forever.
The only thing that remains exactly as it is forever is your ass on that bleeding chair. Why can't I do what I want round here, Harold?
Because, Peter, I have entered our front room for the Turner Prize.
This rubbish. I mean, this could make me the new Damien Hirst. It'll make you the new Dave Pillock, more like.
Look, Father, I just don't want you ruining it. You see, some of those art critics is posh birds.
Oh, I see. All this is just a chance for you to get your leg over.
Yeah, don't knock it. You could be in with a chance yourself.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes, Father, oh, yes. You could be exactly that Brian Sewell's type.
Hello, Matt Office.
Oh, hello there. Is that International Weather Productions?
It is, yes.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Forgive me making the call myself, but I just wanted to take the time. It's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
Hello.
Hello there. I really, really love those intros for the weather on ITV. Mm-hmm. I think they're wonderfully artful and graceful, and I'm a real big fan of them, and I just wanted to say that.
Thanks very much.
Very good. The shivering girl that represents frost, and the large-lipped woman with the rubber head spouting water to represent her. I just think it's marvellous. Wonderful, graceful imagery.
Thanks very much.
I love them so much. Could I be in one?
Afraid not. You'd have to speak to ITV about that. I'm afraid we don't actually design them ourselves. So
because you've got the lady to represent wind, and you've got the scary-looking fellow with large eyes who looks very cross that represents fog or whatever. I thought that I could represent hailstones.
Possibly.
No, I think I could, because I have with me in my hand here a large prosthetic rubber model of my head, which I've painted white, you see. Now, if you can just imagine it, you've got all the ethereal effects going on, right? And then the music comes in. La, 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 la. And then my head could just drop down like the big hailstone, you see. Do you think that would be good?
Possibly, yeah.
It would, wouldn't it? Just imagine it now, all the imagery. La, 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 la. The weather. It's going to be hailstones today. But not as big as that.
Right, it's just coming up to 8:45 on Saturday morning, and time now on Today for anyone with any sense to turn off their radio and hide under the table until John Peel comes on. Yes, it's Will Self's Saturday essay.
Hello. As the broken-headed somnambulists that comprise the intelligentsia quiver in anticipation, as the Kraken awakes and devours the prancing aborted fetus that is broadcasting, as the eyedropper of time ejaculates its poison sack into the aqueous humour of destiny, my Homeric odyssey has taken me so far up my own rectum. Someone needs to summon the dead souls that inhabit the emergency services to extract me from this putrid, stench-ridden piece of semen-coated prose I'm currently spouting.
Will Self will be appearing in Panto in Babes in the Wood at the Hendon Leisure Centre from December the 3rd.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins. The thinking man's Gripper Stepson. The headlines again. Tony Blair's vision of a rapid reaction force is still coming under heavy criticism. Of course it is. They wouldn't be hard enough. They need me, Brian Commando Perkins. I've had the training. In 72, I was sent to prison by a military court for a crime I didn't commit. In fact, they locked me in the Today studio. I escaped by building a tank out of the parts of Sue McGregor. I won't tell you which bit of John Humphreys I used as a battering ram. Today, still wanted by the government, I survive as a soldier of fortune. So I tell you, Tony Blair, if you have a problem, and nobody else can help, and if you can find me, maybe you can hire Brian Perkins. Turn that music off, I've finished. BBC Radio 4. I love it when a plan comes together. You still wake up screaming sometimes, don't you, Clarice? Wake up in the dark and hear the screaming of the lambs.
Yes.
And you think if you save poor Catherine, you could make them stop, don't you?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you sick and tired of the lambs, Clarice?
Yes. Yes, Dr. Lecter, I am.
Me too. That's why I only ever eat Bernard Matthews' frozen turkey Kiev fillets.
BBC Radio 4. If satin sheets could talk, they'd sound like Charlotte Green. And now, cook at bedtime. Robin! Robin, stop that. I'm trying to read my book.
Oh, get a little feel frisky. If you all might bother, a little bit upset. On the mood for rumpy pumpy.
No, Robin, I'm too tired. Just try taking your mind off it. Think about the Euro Rapid Reaction Force or something. Robin! Robin, for heaven's sake, stop sticking that thing in my back and go to sleep!
All right.
And you can hear the rest of that clumsy attempt to get a bit before the light goes off on Long Wave.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard the other day, after the church warden's beetle drive, when a lady came on the wireless announcing the winner of the Turner Prize. Thora turned her head towards me. "They've awarded the prize to a mere photographer," she exclaimed, prizing open a bourbon and scraping the cream off with her teeth. I nodded, and my mind sauntered back to a cold November evening when the Turner Prize was controversially awarded to Brit art enfant terrible, Damien Hurd, a.k.a. Thora. Thora's introduction into the art world had happened quite by chance when she accidentally spilled a tin of bird's custard and was hailed as the new Jackson Pollock. She was then catapulted into the forefront of the art world, courtesy of her experimental film entitled simply Stairlift. In Stairlift, nothing happened for 326 hours. This was later cut into half-hour segments and broadcast as Last of the Summer Wine. As the years passed, Thora pushed the boundaries still further. Who could forget her famous piece entitled Thora's Bed? It wasn't so much the unwashed Marks and Spencer specials on the floor, or the empty condom packets that shocked art lovers. No, it was the scattering of macaroon crumbs around the pillow that really captured the headlines. Still, Thora thirsted for controversy, which is why when me, Peter Salis, and Mr. Pettiforth were enjoying a pot of Earl Grey round at number 42, Thora turned up with a chainsaw and a large vat of formaldehyde. So, as Thora goes for a spot of tea with the other half of my body, which is currently in the east wing of Tate Modern, I say to those Turner Prize judges, it's about time Thora won the prize again. Or you'll end up in a right pickle. I know I have.
OK, hello and welcome to Movie Watch, with me, Johnny Vaughan. Arnold Schwarzenegger has renounced violence in his films. We bring you this sneak preview of the upcoming blockbuster, Terminator 3.
We haven't got much time. The Terminator 3010 is almost here. Why aren't you loading your AK-47 grenade launcher?
I am sensing a lot of repressed hostility, Sarah Connor. Do you have unresolved issues about your parents not loving you? You need to discover your inner child.
It's me, Mrs. Overall Mark 3010, a fearsome killing machine plus teas made from the Innovations Catalogue of the Future. You know I was going to exterminate you both and eliminate you, Sarah, from the timeline, but I've decided instead to make us all a lovely cup of tea.
Milk, two sugars. Quickly, Sarah Connor, while she's in the kitchen, get me my big knife.
Finally, you've come to your senses. You're gonna kill her?
No, it's just I can't quite get this wrapping off these hobnobs.
Your
are listening to Today with me, Sue McGregor. So wake up or I'll pull off your duvet. It's gone 8:30 and all the men have gone to work, so it's time for patronising nonsense for the ladies at home. Well, he recently appeared on Question Time and he's now being considered for a government committee. But is he really a substantial intellectual? Boy George joins me now. Mr. George, do you enjoy being so much in demand?
I think it's terrible, you know, really. I think it's terrible, that's what I think.
Is that all you can say?
No, I mean, it's terrible, you know, really terrible.
Well, that's a stream of complete and utter nonsense. Have you ever thought of doing Thought for the Day?
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Do shut up.
Of course, bookmakers.
That is the betting account place, is it?
It is, yes.
Hello, I am the doctor.
Right, would somebody know you're here, would they?
Listen, I'd like to put £20 on Manchester United winning the treble in 1999. Yes, I just think they're going to do it this time round.
It's 2000 now, though, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's 2000 now.
What?
It's 2000.
Really? That shouldn't have happened. Must have been a malfunction in the time slave relay. Just a moment. Let me repair that. Set the coordinates. There. That should do it. Right, yes, I'm very sorry. Tell you what, then. I'll put £50 on Tyson to stop Bruno in round five. Now, that's next year, February 1989.
Are you having me on here, or what?
Oh, bugger. I've gone back in time. I should have gone forward. Excuse me.
All right, I haven't got time for this, are I?
No. You will have time. I'll find the time. Right, that should be the correct time stream. Right, tell you what, I'll place 700 Brit Euro dollars on Alan Titchmarsh winning his second term as Prime Minister.
Thank you.
Will I be able to do that?
Certainly, sir.
Oh, hang on. No, that's not till 2014. I'm very, very sorry.
Let's hope I'm still here in 2014.
You've been listening to Dead Ringos. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Lawrence Howarth, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel, John Culshaw, George Bowes and Simon Littlefield, Adam Bromley and John Holmes. The title music was by John Whitehall. Associate producer is Adam Bromley. The producer is Bill Dare.
The big hand on my watch is just approaching Mickey Mouse's left ear, so the time is 8:05. Ish. You're listening to Today on BBC Radio 4. Now, Thought for the Day with Anne Robinson.
Goodbye.